This is the left side. This is the right side.
Jeff Martin, thanks for being back with me. We are going to continue this long path through 2000s emo. We are in part three. I've just enjoyed every minute.
Me too. Thank you for taking me on the path with you.
Down the garden path, yep. As they say.
I love a garden
path. Happy to do it. You love a good garden path. Who doesn't?
Big garden path guy.
big garden path guy over here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's that beautiful bracket.
There's that beautiful bracket. Again, this is on both podcast platforms and YouTube. So if you want to see our faces, if you want to see the Spotify playlist and the lyrics as we listen, along with the artwork, if you want to see the beautifully designed bracket.
So nice.
With band logos that I have painstakingly put together, then you can do that on YouTube. So much fun stuff here today. We are still in round two. We're kind of right in the second quarter of round two. And we just heard, the last thing we heard in part two was Cursive beating My Chemical Romance. Again, they were heavily handicapped from previous episodes. Next up, we've got Coheed and Cambria versus Jax Mannequin. Now, the thing about Coheed is they've got a lot of stuff that is not emo. They've got stuff that's like post-hardcore, almost like metal,
right.
Progressive metal kind of like.
Definitely.
They really have their own kind of thing that they do.
Yeah.
And so I kept off some songs that were more popular by them that just felt like not in the emo world at all. And we're getting a lot from the second stage Turbine Blade, which I think is supposedly their second album. Like he did comics for all these albums or whatever, but I think it's their first album. Certainly the first album I heard of theirs. It's when they started to make a name for themselves in the scene, signed to Equal Vision. They're coming up against Jax Mannequin. So from Coheed, we are getting Devil in New Jersey.
New Jersey bound. And sound asleep, they'll find you at your most vulnerable pole position. Speak up, let out. And down the street, the color boys fuck shit up. Scream loud, scream silent and loud. Sweet Josephine, will you follow me home? Scream loud, scream silent and loud. Sweet Josephine, will you fuck me back home? Let's fight it over. Ha ha.
Okay, and this is coming up against Jax Mannequin, Something Corporate lead singer, Andrew, what's his last name?
Andrew McMahon, right?
McMahon, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Jax Mannequin fan by far than Something Corporate. Mm. It'll be interesting to see what you say. This is a track called Dark Blue from Everything in Transit.
This flood is slowly rising up, swallowing the ground beneath my feet. Tell me how anybody thinks under this condition. So I'll swim as the water rises up. Sun is sinking down and now all I can see are the planets in a row, suggesting it's best that I slow down. This night's a perfect shade of dark blue, dark blue.
You know what's funny is I thought Coheed and Cambria had it before the song, the Jax Mannequin song started.
That can happen.
And now, and then it totally changed.
Yeah.
Cause actually I'm the opposite of you. I would say I'm more of a something corporate guy, historically,
yeah.
whatever historically means in this case. But that is such a good song. I love the Coheed and Cambria
chorus,
song. That's probably the album that I'm the most familiar
it's
with.
It's my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. This is really tough. I didn't think this was going to be tough. Why is this so hard?
I'll simplify it for you. The Jax Mannequin song is better.
Okay.
I mean, don't you think?
I already know that. Yeah, my heart already knew that. My brain didn't know yet.
Your heart knew?
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jax Mannequin wins. Thank you, Coheed and Cambria, for being so kind and that one time that I took you guys to Guitar Center when I'm working one of my friends' concerts in Buffalo.
You were like a Guitar Center runner, like they needed some cables swapped out or something?
Remember last time how
we talked about needing
to sort of, you know, find little work when in between tours?
Yeah.
Well, that was what I did. And yeah, one time I took three of the guys from Coheed to Guitar Center. And couldn't really see out of my rearview mirror because of the one guy's hair, the singer's hair.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a thick cloud of cannabis smoke.
No, just hair.
Just the hair, Claudio's hair, yeah.
But yeah, so I really like that album. Had it gone against another song, they might have won, but not this time.
So as you were driving and having a hard time seeing in your rearview mirror, did you scream Claudio? Oh. Dear Claudio, oh, I wish, God damn it, can't see in my rearview mirror. Okay.
Wow, that's a good song.
They have so many good songs.
I was trying to play, you know, be cool.
You're trying to play cool, yeah. You weren't singing his own songs back to him to get him to bat down his
I didn't think that was a good strategy.
No, wouldn't have been.
But hey, you never know.
Well, let's elegize Coheed a little bit. I remember this band came out of it felt to me in college like they came out of nowhere. And within 2 weeks, I had 20 friends who were Coheed fans. And it was on this record. Yeah. And that one still is my favorite. Like I have such sense memories of walking around San Luis Obispo, California to and from class, essentially. Like this is my undergraduate, you know, disc man, and I would make myself compilation CDs, and I would always have some Coheed on there. Like all four of the tracks that are on the playlist, the Spotify playlist, which by the way, listeners, there's always a Spotify playlist for every episode. All four of these would have been on those. Devil in New Jersey, Time Consumer, Delirium Trigger, Everything Evil. Just such a fun band. I'd like to play more, but like I also feel like you want to play one more. Okay, which of those would you like to hear? You pick one.
You pick.
We'll just go with the next one. Oh, Delirium Trigger. All right,
Delirium Trigger. But I don't really care that.
Okay,
much.
Here's a little Delirium Trigger by Coheed. Probably my favorite thing about Coheed is their like outros, you know?
Yeah.
There's always these great bridge outros. I kind of want to try and find the, is it in Everything Evil? I want to find the, and she screamed Claudio. Oh, let's just play that.
Yeah. You probably should.
I think it might be Time Consumer. It's not Time Consumer. Is it Everything Evil? There's always all kinds of things I learn by having the lyrics pulled up during these things.
I love the lyrics.
And I would never in 1 million years have guessed that what the background screamer is screaming there is FBI.
I would have never.
I always thought it was You Believe. We'll make it if you believe. You believe. It's FBI, guys. So apparently this is a part of some much larger narrative that I am not privy to in this song or album. Okay, Coheed, we love you.
Yeah, see ya, Claudio. He makes me feel like I was very unserious about my lyrics as a songwriter.
Oh, really?
Like with his, well, just with like his, all of his world building.
Yeah.
And, third person references and even the FBI. So I was just kind of writing about being sad or confused usually. But yeah, let's say bye to them and thank you so much, Coheed. And wow, we got a couple exciting matchups coming up.
Got some good stuff here. Okay. All right. So Jack's Mannequin goes on. Next up, Jimmy Eat World. Probably between the two of us, like our favorite band in this tournament, I would say. They're a top three, top four band for me of my whole life.
I can't even find the words.
Okay.
But yeah. And I actually have a friend in particular who's going to be very upset about this matchup because
they're going up against May. Yeah.
You know what? I thought that said, what? I thought that said thrice. I think I was reading it as thrice.
No. It's up against May. I think it might not be too hard of a one here.
My friend that I was thinking about is no longer upset at all.
Okay. This friend is, we just in case anybody was worried, we're good.
If you're worried about this friend, he already knows who's going to win. And so do I, but yeah, let's hear the song.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right. So we got Jimmy Eat World.
That's not fair.
Okay. All right. Jimmy Eat World versus May. And we talked about May extensively. If people haven't heard Your and I's episode from maybe last summer, top 10 bands we toured with or top bands we toured with, we talked about all the bands that we had shared a stage with, shared tours with in our touring years. And we talked about May and played like two or three songs of theirs. So if people want to kind of hear us wax about them, they can check out that episode. But here from Jimmy Eat World, and they've been handicapped by previous tournaments, but it's like it doesn't even matter because we're going to hear Sweetness.
If you're listening.
This comes up against Embers and Envelopes by May.
And based on that, we'll see there'll be room for change, but gradually.
This one's a little hard to talk about because May is obviously very influenced by Jimmy Eat World.
For sure.
And so it's like, it's a little bit like a Louis Vuitton purse versus a knockoff Louis Vuitton purse. A little bit.
I didn't know we were going to go.
That's a little mean.
I
don't mean it quite that mean. I've spoken very kindly about May in the past,
We have spoken highly of May, and this is probably the last time we will.
They're going to lose to Jimmy Eat World.
So they're going to lose to Jimmy Eat World. I love the song Embers and Envelopes. I think we even talked about on a previous episode, maybe of this actual series, but just the Further Seems Forever album that had the compilation
came with the comp
disc
CD
that had this song, and we were totally smitten by it.
Yeah, I was into it. Yeah.
So it's a great song, and Sweetness is not one of my favorite Jimmy Eat World songs. I really look forward to the year of Jubilee for them.
But when the other songs can be made available again, captives are let free.
But nonetheless, I don't know if this is bias or it doesn't really matter. But Jimmy Eat World wins. Still, obviously, Sweetness is still a great song.
Let's talk about Sweetness, and then we'll talk about that May song and the band in general. When did you have the same reaction I had when you first heard the chorus of Sweetness with the woes? I mean, it's the verse, especially it's the whoa in that chorus, that especially the chorus hook. Did you also basically shit your pants the first time you heard that? Because that's what I did.
I mean, I was pretty amazed by everything I was hearing, you know, from them. But at the same time, once I listened to the album, it wasn't my favorite song, but I was super pumped about, they could like do no wrong in my eyes and pretty much still can.
They did a thing in between Clarity and Futures where they released a bunch of their demo recordings, which were still pretty good. Like they involved some studio work. They put them out on like Napster and these file sharing sites to sort of gin up some enthusiasm amongst the fan base. And it worked, and we found these demos, and the Sweetness demo famously has like a nylon string guitar solo in it that's different, which I think probably it's on the deluxe version now of Bleed American. You can hear that track. But so I heard it before this album came out. I heard this version of it.
Okay.
And so I sort of heard them taking these leaps, these musical and songwriting, pop songwriting leaps, and I was just like, I didn't know you could do this. I mean, that's kind of, I was 16 or something.
Right.
And now, like, with a bit more retrospect, I'll say all those, like, 9 chords with those open, that extra note in there, and the beefy guitars, like, I just want to pump this straight into my veins. I just love everything about it.
It's so good. It's so, so good. And, I don't really know what else there is to say, especially since we're going to need to say more about them later. As they continue and, inevitably do pretty well in this tournament.
They could go all the way.
But yeah, May, I mean, we love May. We talked a lot about them in, the episode that you referred to. And this is a top song of theirs.
Yeah. Here's my May question for you. Does Owl City owe Dave royalties for his vocal style?
He really might, but then the Owl City guy would then have to pay those royalties to Ben Gibbard, and
it gets complex.
I feel like it's it gets complex pretty quickly.
It does.
But yeah, they probably all need to just work together on some sort of project and just thank each other.
Super group. Yeah. Well, Jimmy goes on. May, thank you for your contribution.
Thank you, guys.
We spoke at length about you previously, so people can check that out if they want. And now we get to listen to Brand New versus my band Sherwood. This is going to be awkward. We made it to round two.
This is going to be awkward.
From Brand New, we get The Quiet Things That No One Ever Knows from Deja and Tendu.
We saw the western coast. I saw the hospital. Nurse the shoreline like a wound. We pose a lover's tryst. We're neither clear nor distressed. We kept it safe and slow. The quiet things that no one ever knows.
Can I just say, listening back, kind of a shockingly bad recording on that record.
Yeah.
Especially that song.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking that, but now that you said it. Yeah.
But it is a very catchy, it's a pretty undeniably catchy song. Speaking of, here's a deniably catchy song, Town That You Live In by Sherwood, up against it.
With the flowers in bloom, there is so much to view from the freeway. And we're friends.
Okay, just be quick. Just be quick about it.
Brand New wins this round.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that Sherwood song a lot. I think, did I choose that as one of my Sherwood songs when we
maybe
talked about it?
Yeah, you might.
But
have.
Anyway, I love that song. It fills me with all of the feels of that era. But Dan, when I actually picture, like when I pictured this tournament, when you first told me about this tournament, the album cover of that Brand New was like one of the primary images that came in my mind.
Makes sense.
And I wouldn't even say like I'm a huge Brand New fan, but that album cover and even that song, it kind of is this tournament to me in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And I think we got to be realistic about like that song. The kids in the scene, the Warped Tour attendees, they had both songs. They chose the Brand New song.
Well, they did choose it. And you know what? You at least you made it to the second round. You kicked me out. You kicked my band out in the first round, which I hadn't remembered until right now.
Sorry.
And it's totally fine. And you were right. But Brand New is going to go on. Sherwood, I love you. I love you, Dan, Nate, Mikey, Joe, etc. I don't know. I mean, what do we say about your band as we say goodbye? I don't know what to say.
We don't have to say anything. And the reason why is because people will have probably they're going to come out first. We did a whole 2-part Joe, Mikey, and I, our favorite Sherwood songs.
Okay.
We talked ad nauseum about ourselves. So plenty of content there. If you want to hear more about
Sherwood,
straight from the horses' mouths. Let's talk a little bit about that Brand New song. That song feels to me like exactly the bridge out of Your Favorite Weapon into their more emo and less pop punk.
Yeah.
Because that song is like, we used to be a pop punk band, but now we get art.
Mm-hmm.
Check out how we get art now.
Right. And they kind of do that evolution with every,
and they just get more and more arty. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Of course they do like that one. And then the next record, those are my favorite records of theirs. And so I'm glad that they made that change. And I do think that song is, I really like it. It's really propulsive. It's like full of piss and vinegar. It's almost got like a Beastie Boys attitude to it, not sound, but it's got that kind of in your face quality, snotty, like a yelling face right up in the camera, like that kind of a vibe. And frankly, that works like that kind of always works for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good analogy. And yeah, like I said, like I'm not a huge Brand New guy, but this album sort of summarizes this era for me in a lot of ways. Even when I just think about, you know, the year we were on Warped Tour, when I think about, you know, all that stuff, like I think this band was like, I don't know.
Yep.
So yeah, let's just go to the next round, because I'm pretty excited about what I'm seeing.
The next matchup. Okay, here we go. I believe this is the number 2 overall seed, Panic at the Disco, coming up against Copeland. But I honestly, I give Panic very low odds here. But we'll see. So from Panic, I only put one song of theirs on the playlist. I'm going to have to go find more if they go on. But this is Lying is the Most Fun a Girl Can Have Without Taking Her Clothes Off. Just some real gentle misogyny there.
That's a little problematic.
Slightly problematic.
Title, but let's hear it nonetheless.
Let's hear the song.
Great title, guys.
Great title on this, your most popular song.
Nice.
Is it still me that makes you sweat? Am I who you think about in bed? When the lights are dim and your hands are shaking as you're sliding off your dress. Think of what you did and how I hope to God he was worth it. When the lights are dim and your heart is racing as your fingers touch your skin. I've got more wit, a better kiss, hotter touch, a better fuck than any boy you'll ever meet, sweetie. You had me. Girl, I was it, look past the sweat, a better love deserving of exchanging body heat in the passenger seat. No, 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 you know it will always just be me. Let's get these teen hearts beating faster, faster. So testosterone boys and hold the quick girls. Will you dance to this beat and hold the rubber claws? So testosterone boys and hold the quick girls. Will you dance to this beat and hold the rubber claws?
So this is the worst kind of like music snobbery, but it's harlequin, right? Isn't that word pronounced like, harlequin, not harlequin?
I didn't really like, I don't really like that song.
No.
What am I supposed to say?
I should say harlequin. No, I'm wrong. It's harlequin. Okay.
And even with you being wrong, we're not wrong about how we feel about this song.
Whatever we got to tell ourselves.
but we got to hear the Copeland song just to make sure.
Well, and I just, to clarify, we did hear I Write Sins Not Tragedies in the radio tournament, I think. So they did have a slight handicap that this is not their main song. A lot of their bigger songs, many of their biggest songs are from, you know, the last 15 years.
Later, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Brandon has been tremendously successful in later iterations of the band. But we are 40-year-old millennial emo kids. So we're going to choose this next song, Chin Up by Copeland.
We are.
And let's hear it.
In a snail race down to your neck and look up, but you were smiling somehow. Back to in the storm, losing who we were. Maybe we should only tip a bottle back to keep us filled up. Back to in the storm, losing who we
You know, there are at least two kinds of people who are theoretically the target audience for When We Were Young Fest in Las Vegas. And I think that this matchup between Panic and Copeland is a pretty good exemplification of the, at least two of those very distinct camps.
I think so, too. And because Panic at the Disco, in a lot of ways, you know, like Fall Out Boy Jr., when they first came out.
And they were proteges of theirs and all that stuff. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, they remind me of this era in some ways too, but Copeland, I mean, you know, I'm at a loss for words. I feel like those three albums back to back to back, during this era were just perfect. And, the kind of band that could be like a rock, you know, a rock band and still have like a mellotron, you know, in their song and use it perfectly. And just kind of really have this, I don't know, like we talked about maybe in that other episode where it's just like, this was the type of songs that both of us wanted to write.
Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes we came close-ish, but Aaron was at just another level for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you mentioned the mellotron, because the thing I wrote down is that song actually takes me back to what it felt like when the height of artistic musical merit was Sigur Rós. You remember those days?
Oh yeah.
Now it's like artistic hip hop is the top of artistic merit, right? It's like it's Kendrick Lamar and it's SZA and and it's Beyonce. But it didn't used to be. It used to be Sigur Rós. I mean, at least in our circles, and maybe that's whatever it is. But but that's what it took me back to when I was listening was that era. I love that lyric. You'd break your neck to keep your chin up. I mean, that's just, I wish I wrote that lyric.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's such a good song in every way. And that includes the lyrics to me. I know I've always been kind of a big lyric, you know, guy or observer. Yeah. And, I think Aaron, you know, often had pretty sneaky, good, lyrics. And this is an example for sure.
Agreed. The thing about Panic, as we say goodbye to them, you know, I think I just kind of have an allergy to them. I don't know that it's really their fault. It's kind of like my least favorite things about Fall Out Boy are exemplified in Panic at the Disco. I do like, of course, the like one zag that everybody who knows about it totally saw coming is that I like their weird Beatles album, Pretty Odd.
Okay.
Did you ever hear that record? You haven't even heard. Let me just like show you this. I mean, it's pretty crazy. They did have it. It led to one kind of radio hit called Nine in the Afternoon, which I believe they still
okay.
He at least for a while was playing live. But like, no, this record is like straight up. They got Van Dyke Parks, who co-wrote Smile with Brian Wilson and had been kind of known as doing these kind of 60s style orchestrations for all those big artists. Like they hired him to do all the orchestrations. He was the same guy who was working on Rufus Wainwright at the time.
Oh, okay.
But like some of it is really cool and some of it is super weird, but like, listen to this. So here's, you know, it's stuff like this kind of.
Writing songs for you.
They were pretty clearly worried that their fans would be worried that they were not the same band.
They were so worried. That's actually what I was going
to
say.
There's no other reason to put that song as track one.
It's actually unbelievable how worried they were.
They were consumed with worry.
I feel like, is he just like, does he write every one of his songs with sort of like the last lyric also beginning, the last lyric of the verse also beginning the lyric of the chorus? Like, I just feel like that is his.
Oh, maybe.
That is like his move.
I don't know if he's was the writer. My memory is that the other guitar player was the songwriter until he departed after that album. And then Brandon must have begun working with other members of the band I mean, there was no full length for another 3 years. So I'm not sure if he worked with co-writers or what, or if he writes the songs now. I don't know.
See you guys. I mean, see you later.
See you later, Panic.
At the disco. I don't know how to say their name. I don't know how to say their name or how to space it out or how to time it.
It's okay. Great. Copeland goes on. Next up, one of my favorite. It's going to be sad if they go up against each other in the next round. Copeland versus this band, Motion City Soundtrack. One of my deep loves. Coming up against Bayside, an East Coast band that I'm less familiar with. So Motion City, did I fail to handicap them?
You might have done that subconsciously.
I might have done that subconsciously.
But listen, I think you're a little too, as we talked about, the year of Jubilee. I think sometimes you handicap bands a lot. Maybe we're going to start to see a little bit of a loosening of that of that grip.
You know what it is I thought that they were in the 04 Warped Tour draft, but they weren't. We did Warped Tour with them in 06, not 04.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's why they haven't. That's why they're getting kind of cream of the crop. We're starting off with Everything Is All Right from Commit This to Memory, a fantastic song.
Sick of the things I do when I'm nervous, like cleaning the oven or checking my tires or counting the number. Tiles in the ceiling, head for the hills, the kitchen's on fire. I used to rely on self-medication, I guess I still do that from time to time. But I'm getting better at fighting the future. Someday you'll be fine. Yes, I'll be just fine. Tell me that you're alright. Yeah, everything is alright. Oh, please tell me that you're alright. Yeah, everything is alright.
Up against, from Bayside, Devotion and Desire.
Trying to create something that's not there. Spark I saw as a bomb is just a means to an end. And I was just so happy to be out of my shell again. But don't think that I really cared for who it was. So for now I just have to keep it shut. You're not ready. You're not ready. I know.
we should have established a drinking game at the beginning of these episodes, and anything about lighting yourself on fire or blood, your own soaking in your own blood or choking on it or something, you should have had to do a shot for those kind of lyrics. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I was pretty shocked by those lyrics.
Were you a Bayside fan? I mean, being an East Coast kid? No.
I'm an East Coast guy, and I wasn't. Mm. And, you know, the good news is that Motion City wins, and the bad news is that we're going to have that matchup coming
that
up.
That is the bad news, yeah.
That is the bad news. But I think Motion City wins by, like, a whole lot.
Okay, it's clear
almost
to you.
Almost to the point where you'd almost want to, like, set yourself on fire just thinking about it.
What would be the match then?
Well, yeah, I don't know. What
would be the if match the match would be. Is not going to, the spark inside Bayside's eyes is not the match with which Motion City's going to set themselves on fire. I don't think that doesn't make sense.
I don't think any of it really works. But I think I don't have anything to say about Bayside. I know that I think they're a fine band.
I know they're very well loved. They have a lot of fans. They're like a big band today. Yeah. They got 500,000,
totally.
Twice as many monthly listeners as Saves the Day, for instance. Like, they're a big band.
Yeah, no, they're for sure.
I think, you know,
maybe
I was
missing something.
I thought about it. You know, I think what it is, I think it's that they are like a true New York band. Hmm. There's a toughness there that I respect, but I don't enjoy as much. And I certainly don't relate to it as like a Paisley wearing California sun boy.
So you're not that tough, is what you're saying?
Not fucking tough at all. I might be like mentally tough or something. I could maybe search for types of toughness that might apply.
But you're not that tough.
Not East Coast tough. Fuck no, dude. And I was thinking maybe that band kind of falls into a crack between punk and emo in a way where it's not quite my favorite parts of punk or my favorite parts of emo, but I get why people like them, and I get that they still have this influence.
Sure. Yeah. Good for them. And, I'm sorry that you're not tough enough to understand.
Yeah. It's my fault.
Maybe I'm not either. And I'm from New York, but I'm from Western New York, which really is a completely different thing. It's almost Canada.
Come on.
So, yeah, let's go to the next round. But yeah, thanks Bayside, and all the best.
And then in terms of Motion City, I talked for 7 to 10 minutes about Everything Is All Right on a Hot Takes episode that was about Saves the Day, Motion City, and Jimmy Eat World. So people can seek that out in the archives of Pretty Good Vibrations. All right, Motion City goes on. Next up, Yellow Card v. Further Seems Forever. Now, Yellow Card is heavily handicapped. They've been on the Warped Tour 04 and the Emo Punk Radio Scene tournaments. But this first song was a pretty big radio hit in 2006. It's Lights and Sounds.
Make it new.
I like that chorus, and I'm just really glad that when Greta Gerwig was writing the script for Barbie, that she made sure to include these lyrics in America Ferrera's impassioned speech about how it's impossible to be a woman. You know, like, you know, they say, like, make it new, but stay in the lines. Just let go, but keep it inside. You know, they give you the end, but not where to start, how to build, how to tear it apart. You know, like, I'm just so glad that they thought to that Greta thought to include that in the script.
That was great of her.
Yeah. Okay. All seriousness, this is going up against Further Seems Forever. The Moon Is Down. Track one from The Moon Is Down. We can just copy that. We'll just copy that Further Seems Forever logo over.
Can you just move it over? Yeah. Move it over while we're listening.
Okay.
Yeah, let's listen. Yeah.
So here is Snowbirds and Townies by Further Seems Forever.
Fountains and fluorescent lights,
they got a little extra long clip there because you know what? They fucking earned it.
World. And as and Andy's about to say, this winter is lasting forever, at least for tonight. Like, yeah. what was about to happen. Mm-hmm. But when he said, and better things, and the pause after it, and all of us wondering, like, what are the better things?
Winter flings.
I mean, I didn't know it was, but then I knew it was.
The image I got from this song is I'm 18 years old. I'm in my Converse All-Stars and my Get Up Kids t-shirt. I am walking around the campus of Cal Poly San Luis Obispo after my night class. Okay, I'm walking back to the bus or my car or parked off campus or whatever. And my whole body is just aching to meet a girl, fall in love, who will love me back. And you know who gets it at that moment? This guy gets it. Chris Carrabba gets it. And he's living in this Florida beach town and the Midwestern and Northern girls come down, you know, in the winters and he's just dripping. He's just soaking with longing. And these physically large former hardcore dudes are helping me listen and express my feelings. They're helping him express his feelings. And it's no wonder that I fell in love with emo. And I fell in love with emo maybe most fully through Further Seems Forever.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, it's amazing. And you probably were also wishing that you were a working class boy.
No, I've actually not ever for 1 second in my life wished I was a working class boy. That might be the truest thing about me, Jeff.
Well, but that's what I know. I know that you're not. But you weren't wishing that you were. But just to kind of fit in with the narrative of the song. But wow, I mean, I know we heard The Moon Is Down before, but I think this is probably the best song on the album in my mind, I think.
It might be my favorite. There's kind of a trinity, Snowbirds and Townies, yeah. New Year's Project, and Just Until Sundown usually is in that one for me. I love the 6-8 songs on that album in particular.
I love the combination of that, like you said, this kind of like post-hardcore band, but with the Chris Carrabba sensibility of it being, you know, built in. And it's probably it might be the best or one of the best emo albums ever. Like, I mean, and I can't wait to hear some of the other songs that aren't even from this album, but I actually really love all the different Further Seems Forever eras.
Same.
For different reasons.
Same.
But we'll get there. And that was an absolute annihilation of the violin
yellow card.
So, but
before we talk about Yellow Card to kind of say goodbye, I think that Carrabba gets a little bit of short shrift as a lyricist because they're so emo and he's so tied up with like the emo of it all. But that's a great idea for like a painful love song, is like the geographic Snowbirds and Townies and
so good.
Like
It's so good.
And maybe
you can only write it if you're from Florida.
Yeah, you have to kind of live there. He also, I do think that what he's really good at doing is drawing straight from a teenage point of view. And at times that can verge on creepiness, especially as he's gotten older. And you kind of wonder, like, how haven't you been married for 10 years now? You know, things like that. But that's kind of what he channels that. And it can still be true,
sure,
even if it's from a different period of his life, of course. I'm not trying to paint with too broad a brush, but that's his superpower. And this song is par excellence of that.
It's perfect. Yeah. Because I mean the whole Florida thing and people coming to Florida and being a winter fling, like I'm from Buffalo. Like my whole life was a winter fling. So, I mean, I couldn't necessarily compartmentalize it the way that he did in such a perfect way in this song. And this album, I mean, it doesn't sonically hold up in every way, but in every other way, it holds up so well.
I think sonically it clears the bar enough for me. There's nothing egregious. And
it's not egregious.
A clear enough recording. Obviously, the next one, How to Start a Fire, sounds even better, bigger.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Can you imagine if this album just kind of had a little bit more of that kind of like, just that fullness? But maybe that's part of the...
Tough to say.
I don't know.
Yeah, there might be something to it, just being a little lower budget and
Yeah, it's probably not worth thinking about too much, but I can't wait to see how they do in the rest of the tournament.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Yellow Card. You know, that chorus on Lights and Sound, really, do you ever remember that band Reeve Oliver? They were on the Militia Group. They were from San Diego.
No. I don't know.
They're kind of adjacent to this whole world. It'd be worth maybe playing a little bit of their biggest song. They did not kind of stick around. They made a shot at it.
Okay.
But listen to the chorus of this song, Your Motion, and tell me if you hear a little bit of, like, I think they are friends, and maybe even they did some co-writing together later on. I don't know when they became friends, but listen to this track.
And I don't want to take the wrong way, but sometimes that gets hard to say. If you were willing to let it be, you were hurt once, that's not me. I would never let you down, I could never let you go. Scream it out at the top of your lungs, let them know those days are done. Yeah, you won't be going back to the one who let you know where.
Do you hear that in there?
Yeah, no, I totally did. Yeah. I think something with the harmonies.
Yep.
But yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool song.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, there's some real song craft in it. I mean, I think there's a lot of there. Ryan and whoever he is working with at any given point, super talented. You know.
Yeah.
My favorite Yellow Card stuff is the Ocean Avenue album kind of stuff,
sure.
And it's just like an arrow straight to my 19-year-old heart.
Sure. Yeah, no, their Yellow Card was good. They weren't a huge part of my life, aside from the obvious, you know, in some ways, and probably their influence on that world.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't a huge Yellow Card guy. I didn't love the song that we heard by them. I thought it was okay, but they're obviously an amazing band.
Yeah.
And
they, by the way, previous episodes, they have gone very, very far both times they've been around.
Wow.
Like, they are kind of the big upset band of the Pretty Good Vibrations tournaments over the last year and a half, honestly. So they've gotten a lot of love here. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad to put that to an end. Is this next one the end? Is this next one the end of the round of 32?
No. We still have another quarter of the band. So we still have another four to do after this next one, but we'll call it after here today. So
yeah, let's do. Do you want to do Mayday Parade?
Yeah, we'll do this last one. So we got Mayday Parade versus Hot Rod Circuit, who we had a fun time talking about on the. I think it was part one or two. I'm not sure when we got to them.
There's going to be so many parts.
There's so many parts. I'm not going to be able to keep it. Just an earlier part. I'm just going to have to say that.
Yeah,
this might be seven parts
previously.
Long. All right, Mayday Parade. Sure. From them, we get the track "Jamie All Over."
We made love by the ocean.
Okay, you know what I'm realizing? The reason that I never got into Mayday Parade is that I didn't want to admit to myself in 2007 that there was like a 5% difference between them and Sherwood. And not more than that, really.
Interesting.
That even like we did that. That is like,
yeah, but we all did that.
It's slightly more polished and poppy and like youth targeted, but like 5%. It is not that different than
5%.
The album we put out that same year, A Different Light. So calling myself to account, I got to do better, guys. Okay, this is up against The Pharmacist, the biggest song by Hot Rod Circuit from that same record, Sorry About Tomorrow.
lie awake wondering if things could have been much different. Second chance, what's become of a friendship, if you can call this one? Stayed in touch, stood behind. Well, I gave you space and you invade mine. Well, everyone makes mistakes, you let me down for the last time.
We're gonna say something about ourselves here, how we respond to this matchup.
We really are. And I personally, I mean, everything that I'm saying is
it's personal. All personal.
Hot Rod Circuit would win by a lot,
country mile,
by a lot. And I don't even know the difference between a mile and a country mile,
nor do I.
But I,
what's how long's a New York minute? No fucking idea.
It's a little shorter, right?
A New York minute is shorter than a minute.
And a country mile would be longer than a regular mile.
How many country miles is a nautical mile?
Oh, God. Yeah, I have no experience in the sea. But, yeah, so I love that you already moved up over Hot Rod Circuit.
What's your choice? I'm not going to veto you on it.
No, Dan, I think I already said that. They won. I don't have any experience with May Day Parade. I thought the song was okay. I actually now am remembering you. You texted me.
I sent you that song, and I was like, this is a pretty good chorus.
Wow.
And I texted you last week. Yeah.
So, I have no experience with them, and that's not necessarily. I was actually listening to them with very fresh ears, and I thought it was fine, but I love that Hot Rod Circuit song, and they win.
Well, okay. I mean, it's kind of like the When We Were Young thing. It's kind of Copeland and Panic. It's like we are elder emos.
Yeah.
And you know, when I hear the production of that Hot Rod Circuit song, it's, you know, I think they did it with McTiernan guy, the guy who did Thrice and a bunch of those lower mid budget records, or it might've been, I don't think it was Ed Rose. And you know, I like that. Like there's just a place for that in my life. This came out when I was in college.
For sure.
The Mayday Parade thing is like, they were like doing a squeakier, cleaner version of what exactly we were doing, but didn't really want to admit to ourselves we were doing. We wanted to think that we were doing something closer to Copeland, or even closer to Hot Rod Circuit, maybe. These two songs are like opposite sides of the production spectrum for songs that aren't that far apart from a songwriting perspective. You know, the choruses especially feel to me like they're kind of cousins, but the Mayday Parade one is like, let's get these shirts in Hot Topic. You know, like that's how that is supposed to sound. And I do think it kind of works. But I think so. But it's like a major label version of it or something like that.
We are showing our age here, our geriatric millennial age here. And I don't feel bad about that.
Yeah.
At all.
I'm going to give Mayday Parade some more time in my life. I think that
okay,
I have.
I thought you were going to say I'm going to give.
No, I'm not going to veto. No,
do
no, no.
one of your. One
no,
of
no,
your
no.
Things.
I'm just going to give him more time in my life. I think that I'm finding some snobbery and some insecurity from my former self. Speaking of former selves and current selves, I got to go do some childcare now. So we're gonna wrap this up here today, and we'll be back. Next part. I'm not going to call them numbers anymore. Just the next part.
They're not going to be number. The next part. I can't wait for the next part, Dan. And it's so fun. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
All right. Talk to you soon.